In last week's one-on-one, we heard the first part of an interview with Zdenka Fantlova, in which she talked about her experiences in the Nazi concentration camps. In today's second part of the interview, Zdenka Fantlova, who lost all her family in the Holocaust, explains her belief that the power of love can overcome death. She begins by recalling how she and her fiancé were parted at the Terezin concentration camp in Bohemia.
This was very strange because we arrived together in Terezin, but soon after, in 13th of June 1942, he was taken by a so-called trestní transport. How would you translate it? A punishment transport to the east because of Heydrich. The assassination of Heydrich, and he left. No idea where he went, what happened to him, but he gave me a little ring made of tin and said, this is our engagement ring. It will protect you, and if we survive after the war, I'll find you. And left. I had no idea what happened. And hoped, of course. And this ring was the symbol of the whole love, the hope, and the strength. And that was going to be taken away from me. And I put it on one line. In Auschwitz, we were searched, went through pile, you know, like sheep. We had, we couldn't have anything on us, rings or nothing. And I put it under my tongue. And it was like a Russian roulette, because a girl in front of me did the same thing, and they found it. Took her away, and she was a goner. And I thought, I'm putting it all on the line. I cannot throw the ring away, because in that case, I lose the ground under my feet. The strength that I need is in that ring, and put it under my tongue as well. Fate intervened. The SS man was looking through my hair, and just then a higher charge came in and said, hurry up, hurry up. And he kicked me out. And I saved the ring, and I have it till this day. And that was the magic power, you know. I'm not religious. Anybody would say it was believe in God or something. It wasn't. It was the love. The determination that we must survive, and I want to be with him again.
And you also lost all your family in the war?
Yes, one by one, everybody. Father was arrested still at home because he was denounced by a neighbor. There are such people. There were such people. Listening to the BBC, Masaryk from London. So he was arrested and never seen again. My mother, when we on arrival in Auschwitz, went left, I went right. My brother in the end, which I found after the war, tried to escape from a camp somewhere in Schlesia, was caught and shot a few weeks before the end of the war. And my younger sister, who at that time was 16, died in Bergen-Belsen. I couldn't save her, so one by one. So in the end, I was the only one. But the strange thing is that if you fight for your life, you know you're a lioness, because if you have a hope and love. After the war, when I was rescued and taken by the Swedish Red Cross to Sweden for recuperation, was in hospital, and there were lists coming in of survivors, and there was no one, not one. And I realized for the first time where I have been, what I have survived, and what happens now. Now I'm here, alone, naked, without means, without home. I didn't want to live. Because then I found out that my fiancé, who was taken in Terezin with the Straftransport, what you say, the punishment transport. They went straight to Poland, a place called Trawniki, and all of them lined up and machine gunned. Of course, I didn't know this. Had I known it, I wouldn't be here today. So there was nobody. And yet you find strength in yourself to build up your life bit by bit, step by step, like little, I don't know, little floor with little pebbles, little bit of ground, and you just go on. And then in Sweden, I was lucky to get a job at the Czech embassy until 48, when I decided to leave Europe and emigrated to Australia, where I married and had a daughter, and played theater another 20 years, and was even suggested for an Oscar, a play by Tennessee Williams, The Rose Tattoo. And then, things always happen from outside. You don't make a decision that you will leave Australia, go live in England from Tuesday to Wednesday. Something happens outside which pushes you. And my husband, who worked for a large international company, was transferred to London for 2 years. And after that, they wanted him to stay there. And after 2 years, became 5 and 10, and I'm still there after 35. Happily. And my daughter, in the meantime, graduated in England, PhD in psychology and psycholinguistics, and got an offer to join Yale University in the United States. And she married and works for IBM and has 2 daughters, and so life goes on.
Some people who've been through the Holocaust decided to close the chapter in their life completely and they never talk about it. How come you are so open about it?
They haven't learned a thing. You know, life is for going through it, experiencing it and learning from it. But it is, again, instinctive. I have learned the lesson, what values matter in life after this hell where we really were close to death every day. What matters? Not much. Life matters, human relationship matter, and that's about it. The material things which now I have, I accept. But if I wouldn't have them, I don't need them. So I have been enriched, not impoverished by it. And my life, if without religion, is my own religion, that every night before I go to bed, to sleep, I sing the one up in the sky, God, thank him for the day that he gave me, and hope that he will give me another one. And he already gave me 65 years.